Normally, I could read along in the English and play at the same time.
通常情况下呢，唱歌的时候我能够一边看英文的歌词，然后一边也打我的鼓。
I tried that with the pinyin and I got all messed up.
但是我一看到上面有拼音的注解的时候，我就发现我脑子就不可以一心二用了。
Now, this morning we're going to be looking at Ephesians 5:21-6:9.
我们今天会看以弗所书的5:21一直到6的第9节。
Fancy meals are uncomfortable for me.
其实对于我个人来说，去参加那种很豪华的晚餐是对我来说是不太舒服的。
Because I have to watch my manners.
因为我要很注意我自己在晚餐时候的举止。
As part of the faculty at New Hope Christian College, my wife and I were invited to the house of the academic dean for dinner.
因为我是在 New Hope 这个圣经学院是教职人员，所以有一天学院的院长就请了我和我太太去他家吃晚餐。
In those circumstances, I'm careful to watch my manners.
你能想象在那样的情况下，我当然是要很注意我自己的礼节。
I eat much more responsibly.
我吃相肯定会比平时好很多。
I actually keep the napkin on my lap like I'm supposed to.
然后就会在像餐厅一样把纸巾放在自己的膝盖上面。
And that's when I pull out Floria's chair for her.
然后也会故意的帮我太太把椅子抽出来让她坐上去。
Contrast that with how we eat at home.
但是在家的时候呢？
We have 6 kids.
你能想象在家里，我们家除了我跟我太太之外，还有6个孩子。
Dinner at dinner time, we all come together.
晚饭的时候，大家一起在桌上吃。
As far as manners goes, that's all that I'm asking of the kids.
如果真的要要求我小孩子要吃有吃相、坐有坐相的话，我可能不会要求那么多。
Right, I'll yell at them for using their shirts as a napkin.
如果他们用衣服像纸巾一样擦嘴的话，我当然要喊他们。
I'm always rushing them in dinner. Hurry up, we got chores to do.
然后每次吃饭的时候，我总要去催我的小孩说：“快点吃，快点吃，等一下还有家务要做。”
Again, at home, all manners are out the window.
反正意思就是在家吃的话呢，我们家是没有礼节可言的。
Our theme this year is empowering others.
今年我们教会讲到的主题是彼此激励。
The people that we are supposed to be empowering, these people that we're supposed to be encouraging in their walk with the Lord,
我们要去激励身边的人，去让他们在天路上与主越走越近。
These are the very people who sit around our table.
这些我们要激励的人，都是那些以后要跟我们同享一桌的人。
We sit across the table from them at home.
我们可能会跟我们家人坐在餐桌的对面。
At work with our coworkers.
这些也可能是我们的同事。
Even our friends that we meet often at Starbucks.
也可能是我们平时时不时会一起叙旧的老朋友。
These are the people that we're supposed to be encouraging in the Lord.
这些人是我们要激励的人。
And they're across the table from us always.
他们跟我们在主桌上一直都是在同一桌的。
Today from Ephesians, we're going to look at proper manners.
今天呢，我们其实看以弗所书呢，就会看真正的举止应当是怎么做的。
And you can see the title I gave it there, manners, please.
如果你看幻灯片的话，你会注意到我讲到的题目是注意你的举止。
This is a popular exclamation among American mothers.
其实这句话呢，在美国妈妈当中，他们是经常说的。
Right, they want their children to behave properly in public.
在美国，妈妈们都很注意小孩一定要有礼貌，特别是在公众场合的情况下要举止合宜。
The title came to me as I was actually studying the grammar of the passage.
其实呢，这个题目是我在仔细去看以弗所书的时候想到的。
I was looking at how each of the sentences relates to one another.
我在看句与句之间的关系。
And there is a repeated word in here that we'll see.
如果你们跟我一样仔细去读的话，你会发现这十几节经文里面有一个词是经常反复提到。
Over and over, Paul uses the word as.
保罗用了很多次，正如怎么怎么样，如同怎么怎么样。
10 times, in fact, in this little passage.
在这十来节的经文中，他其实这个词用了十次。
And this word as indicates manner.
这个词其实它指向的就是举止。
So let's look at the manners that Paul presents.
好，我们现在就来看看保罗在这里说到了具体要有怎么样的举止。
Let's all stand and read 5:21 to begin.
让我们先一起站起来读二十一节。
Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let us pray.
让我们祷告。
Jesus, we are at your table.
主啊，我们是在你的桌前。
We are here to hear your perspective on relationships.
今天我们要来到你的跟前，去听你怎么样指教我们在关系上应当怎么做。
Teach us by your Holy Spirit and by your Word.
请让你的圣灵和你的话语来亲自的教导我们。
And we ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
我们这样的祷告是奉主名求。Amen.
Please be seated.
大家请坐。
Today's passage picks up where Uncle John left off.
我们今天会从上周黄叔叔讲完的那一段开始。
John described the behavior of the children of light in contrast to those in darkness.
黄叔叔上周讲到了光明之子和黑暗之子行为上的不同。
And this passage, verse 21, is the transition between the two.
这一节二十一节就相当于是黄叔叔要讲的内容和我讲的内容当中的衔接。
In fact, many some translations disagree about where the break should be.
如果你去看不同的翻译版本的话，这一句应当怎么断句，其实是有很多种不同的讲解的。
Some translations, like the ESV, will actually put 21 as part of the passage above.
如果你去看 ESV 这个版本的话，这二十一节它会把它放到黄叔叔讲的内容里面。
And some, such as the NIV, will actually put 21 as the start of the next section.
如果你去看 NIV 这个版本的话，它会把二十一节作为下一部分内容的开头。
And the reason for it is because it sums up what's above.
之所以这样子会有这样争议的原因呢，是因为这一节不仅仅是能够起到一个承上的作用。
But it's also the general command and the specifics are now going to follow.
它也相当于是启下告诉我们接下来的经文应当会有一个什么样的原则。
So this is the general expectation of the children of God.
所以这二十一节可以说是一个最基本的期待，相当于是把这个期待放在所有信主的光明之子的里面。
And then Paul's going to lay out the specifics of how to relate to one another in three pairs.
在二十一节之后，保罗会用三种不同的关系去仔细的说，到底在关系里面，我们每个人应当怎么做。
He's going to discuss wives and husband.
他首先会去看妻子和丈夫之间的关系。
Children and parents.
其次他会去看父母与子女的关系。
And then slaves and masters.
第三他会去看主仆之间的关系。
So let us read together. Chapter 5, verse 22 through 24.
好，我们一起读二十二节和到二十四节。你们做妻子的，当顺服自己的丈夫，如同顺服主，因为丈夫是妻子的头，如同基督是教会的头，他又是教会全体的救主。教会怎样顺服基督，妻子也要怎样，凡事顺服丈夫。
Here, Paul commands the wives and the husbands in this section on how they are to relate to one another.
在这三节经文里面，保罗就说到了妻子和丈夫应该如他们之间的关系是什么样的。
The command for the wife is carried over from the general command in 21.
在这里对妻子的指令是在二十一节顺下来说的。
Wives are to be submissive to their husbands.
做妻子的当顺服自己的丈夫。
Submission is quite unpopular in America.
如果你去看美国的文化的话，顺服这个词并不是一个很受欢迎的词。
And the reason is because we don't understand it.
这个原因呢，是因为其实大部分人其实都不明白顺服到底什么意思。
This is obvious when it comes to driving.
这其实是一个很，就举个很明显的例子，比如说开车。
Do you guys know where this is?
大家知道我上面这幅图是哪里吗？
Guesses?
有没有大家可以猜一猜
？Worst place it is, yeah, their highway.
对，这是一个高速公路。
Here in Eugene, the worst traffic.
它其实是整个 Eugene 城市最糟糕的交通的一段。
Delta Highway and Beltline.
就是 Delta 和 Beltline 两条高速公路衔接的那一段。
Do you know why traffic there is so bad?
你知道为什么那一段的交通特别堵吗？
Because we don't read the sign, we don't understand what yielding means.
因为在那里有一个交通指示牌，就是要让道的意思。可是大家都不会让的，在那边。
A yield sign, you have that there, Fleur? Yeah, a yield sign is different than a stop sign or a go sign.
这是一个非常特殊的交通标志，因为它跟停不一样，它又跟不准走又不一样。
There is a yielding that needs to take place.
如果你看到这个标志的话，你是需要让主道上的车的。
Okay, And wives are to come in line with what God is doing in and through the husband.
太太们呢，其实是需要和主同工，她是要配合着主去完成主在这个丈夫身上的旨意的。
And the two are supposed to come together into one path.
Two, you mean God and wife?
The husband and the wife are supposed to come together into one path.
妻子要走的道和先生要走的道是要慢慢慢慢建合成一道的。
And this is true even if the husband is an unbeliever.
这其实是一个普世真理，就算你的先生不是信主的。
Peter says that this is, as a matter of fact, this is how a wife can win her husband over to the Lord.
彼得甚至在圣经里面说到，这其实就是怎么样做妻子的能够赢得丈夫，去让丈夫信主。
This, I understand that that sounds quite audacious.
我明白这句话要说出来，其实是要很大的勇气的。
But we need to learn to trust that God directs the path of people.
但是我们也要学着去信靠主，相信他是能够在每一个人的身上带领他走他当走的路的。
We trust that in His power and in His plan for husbands.
我们相信主在每一个丈夫的身上都有一个他为他们，他在他们身上都有他的旨意。
C.S. Lewis highlights the need for this yielding in the relationship.
C.S. Lewis 是一个基督教的作家，他对顺服有这么一个逻辑。
And he bases it on the logic that there cannot be just two people in a democracy.
他说在民主里面，你不可能只有两个不同的人。
Because if there are two people, both people have a single vote, then nothing will ever be decided.
如果你有两个人，每个人都有一票，那么永远都不可能真正达成一个所谓的结论，因为每人都投一票，都是打平的。
One must yield to the other.
总有一个要顺服另外一个人。
Now, one way around this is to have the wives in charge of, say, the children, the shopping, and all of that.
所以你会看见有很多太太们会去管家里的，买菜啊，管孩子啊，等等。
And then let's say we'll have the husbands take care of, say, the finances and the work and the education.
那你会看到先生负责工作，负责赚钱，负责维修等等。
But Paul says that wives should submit to their husbands in everything.
但是保罗在这里说到的是，妻子要在凡事上面顺服。
The basis of this command is that the husband is the head of the wife in the same way that Christ is head of the church.
这整一个是基于丈夫是妻子的头，如同基督是教会的头。
Can you imagine a church, the kingdom of God, ran by people?
你可以想象，如果你在天堂的时候，整个天堂是有人来操控的吗？
If we get it mixed up, it just doesn't work.
如果你把这主次颠倒的话，那么整一个系统都不可能能够很顺利的去进行。
And Paul is unapologetic about this.
保罗在这件事情上面是一个不容置疑的态度。
As a husband, I wish that was the end of the passage.
作为一个丈夫，我很希望保罗说完这句话就完了。
Right, that's the end of it. Wives, submit your husbands.
就一句话，顺服自己的丈夫。
Amen, right?
然后丈夫们都会很高兴，说这句话就够了。
Unfortunately, the expectations for the husband are much higher.
但是如果你仔细去看的话，对于丈夫来说，对他们的期望其实是更高的。
The wife's role is compared to the church.
妻子的角色是跟教会差不多的。
The husband's role is compared to Christ himself.
但是丈夫的角色呢，是把他跟基督连在一起这样看的。
Let us read 5:25 through 33.
我们一起读25-27节。你们做丈夫的要爱你们的妻子，正如基督爱教会，为教会舍己，要用水借着道把教会洗净，成为圣洁，可以献给自己，做个荣耀的教会，毫无玷污、皱纹等类的病，乃是圣洁。没有。丈夫也当照样爱妻子，如同爱自己的身子。爱妻子便是爱自己了。从来没有人恨恶自己的身子，总是保养不息。献上基督带教会一样，因我们是他身上的肢体。
For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Wives are supposed to submit in everything. And husbands are supposed to sacrifice everything.
但是丈夫呢, 要在凡事上牺牲。
This is not just a call for taking a bullet for her.
这不是说你要为她挡子弹。
It's a call to daily choices.
这其实应用在你每天的选择上面。
Daily taking up our cross.
这个意思是说你每天都要背起十字架。
Again, making decisions that will result in the holiness of your wife.
每天都要做一个决定，是在你每天的生活里面都能够让你的妻子更圣洁，离主更近。
When Jesus came to earth, he gave up the privileges and the pleasures of heaven.
当耶稣选择来到我们当中的时候，他放弃了在天国的特权。
When before the incarnation, before Jesus came to earth, when Jesus spoke, what happened?
大家记不记得在耶稣来到我们当中之前，在他道成肉身之前，他说话会有什么样的结果？
When he speaks, creation happens.
当他说话的时候，整一个创造就发生了。When
he stands up in heaven, what happens?
当他在天国的时候站立起来，什么事情发生了？
Every angel just falls prostrate and just worships.
所有的天使开始高声歌唱去赞美颂赞他。
When Jesus came to earth, when he speaks, what happens?
但是当耶稣来到我们当中，他说话的时候，什么发生了？
People spit in his face.
人们开始对着他的脸吐唾沫。
He stands and he's rebuked and pushed aside.
人们开始推他，把他推开这个社会，不理他。
That is the sacrifice of Jesus being God, yet humbling himself.
所以那是耶稣要放弃了在天国的所有的特权，而且他要自己谦卑来到我们当中。
He gave up his position and his power, his just everything for us.
他把所有都放弃了，为了来到我们当中。
But he did not give up his mission.
但是他并没有丢弃他自己的使命。
He did not give up his purpose.
他并没有丢弃他的目的。
And he did not give up his authority.
没有丢弃他的权威。
He was still in charge.
他仍然是掌管一切。
And he still led the way.
他仍然是要走他当走的路。
But he didn't force people to respect and obey him.
但是他并没有逼迫着所有人去听从他的命令。
He came to serve, not to be served.
他来到我们当中来侍奉我们，而不是让我们去侍奉他。
And he came to sanctify.
他来到我们当中要圣洁我们。
So let's return to our yielding analogy and see the husband's role.
好，让我们回到这个让道的比喻，然后去看看丈夫应该是一个什么样的角色。
Once again, with the intersection here.
好，我们再去看 Beltline 和 Delta 这两条高速公路融合的交汇的地方。
So husbands, you're coming north on on Delta Highway.
好，丈夫们呢，你们是走这条直道的。
And you're barreling down the road. You're this big ugly dump truck.
你就是那个又老又旧的大卡车，你走这条直道。
Overloaded with bad brakes usually.
因为你是一个又老又旧的大卡车，所以你的车通常刹车也不太好使。
And your wife is a bright red Ferrari.
你的太太呢，就是那个闪着金光的法拉利跑车。
And I just noticed that there's a little red car right at that works perfect for that. You see that there?
然后这个截图也刚好有一个红色的车子在那个环外面准备要跟直道相交。
So your wife is this shiny red Ferrari, and she gets out into the intersection.
然后你的太太是这个红色的法拉利车子，一下就出去了。
And she's a little bit out of timing.
然后她的时间掌控的并不是很好。
She sticks her nose in there, and what does the husband do?
然后他可能很快的就开过去了，也并没有说所谓的让道。那作为先生开这个又老又旧的大皮卡，那你会怎么办呢？
Does that yield sign that the wife have, does that give him the authority to just cram right into her and destroy her?
虽然说在路上有一个让道的标志，但是如果你的太太开的这个红色法拉利车没有让道，一下子就开过去了，难道你就有权利作为一个皮开在正道上的皮卡去把前面那个法拉利给碾碎吗？
No, there's a mutual a coming together, a merging that happens into the plan of God.
并不是，其实你在这样神的计划里面，你们是要两个人慢慢的走在同一条道上的。
We have a lot of little boys at our house.
在我们家，我们有很多的男孩子。
And they have Hot Wheel cars.
我家的儿子们都很喜欢玩车子。
And what do little boys do with Hot Wheel cars?
那男孩子玩车子都怎么玩呢？
They crash them, exactly.
男孩子玩车就喜欢撞来撞去的。
And we have to resist that temptation as husbands.
作为丈夫，我们也需要经常的要注意我们自己，要受到这个脾气的诱惑。
We are supposed to be cleansing.
我们应该像刚刚我们读到的洁净文里面，要以主的道去洁净。
Not crashing our wives.
我们不需要去碾压我们的太太。
If I buy a fancy red Ferrari,
如果我真的买了一辆很漂亮的跑车,
if I treat it like junk, it's going to look like and run like junk.
如果我不好好的对它，我像对着一个又老又旧的破车那样子，一点都不管的话，那么我的法拉利也会变成一个又老又破的旧车的。
I saw a viral video recently of a car automatic car wash gone wrong.
我最近在网上看到一个很流行的视频，它是讲说一个车子进到自动洗车车间，然后车子被毁的。
Those automatic car washes where the car pulls in, it gets stuck on the track.
如果你去过这种自动洗车车间的话，你会知道你把车开进去，停到那个轨道上面。
It gets jerked around and beaten with the wipers.
然后那个车间自己有自己的零件，把你的车子一点一点的挪进去，然后用它的仪器来帮你，还有它的布条什么的，帮你把车子洗干净。
And then it gets spit out on the other side.
然后它就会把洗完之后，它会把你推出去。
And guess what? The next car.
然后再下，然后等你出去了之后，下一辆车呢？
It gets placed on the same track.
然后就会被挪到同一个轨道上面。
Jerked about.
然后被车间里面的零件慢慢的让它一点一点的往前挪。
Beaten with the rollers.
然后用它的布条啊、塑料条什么的再把它洗干净。洗干净之后再推出去。
And there's no distinction between one and the other.
无论你是辆什么样的车，这整个自动洗车程序都是一样的。
When this guy pulled into the automatic car wash in this video.
然后在这个视频里面呢，我看到的这个车子，他就是把车开进去这个洗车的车间。
So he pulls up onto the tracks.
然后他把车停在了当停的轨道上面。
He gets jerked all about.
然后整个车间开始慢慢的把他的车一点一点的往前挪。
The wipers are beating his SUV.
然后整个布条也开始旋转去洗他的越野车。
And he notices a flyer or something on his windshield.
然后他发现他车子的挡雨刷。突然间被什么东西缠住了。
So he looks around and he thinks, "Oh, I'm pretty fast."
然后他往外看的话，他觉得说，哦，我应该是个动作很快的人。
So he actually gets out, opens the door, gets out, and grabs the flyer.
然后他就马上的跳出了车子，开门去想把缠在他雨刷上面的东西给拿掉。
And he runs to get back into the car.
然后拿掉之后，他再跑回车子里面。
But it's way too late.
但是他根本快不过整一个车间的。运转。
Yeah, the automatic car wash is already basically eating that door.
因为他要出去嘛，他的车门就打开了，然后他又不够快，整一个车间就把他的打开的车门就给碾压掉了。
So the did you finish?
Yeah.
So the door itself is actually pushed all the way forward and just basically broken off.
所以基本上他的门呢，就一点一点一点的整个被咬断了。
Sometimes, as husbands, this is how we treat our wives.
有的时候，作为丈夫，这可能就是我们对待我们自己太太的方式。
We are supposed to be cleansing them with our words, and we're beating them with them.
我们应该是用主的话语去洁净我们的太太，但是很多时候我们却用主的话语去苛责我们的太太。
There is a saying that we tell our kids to tell the bullies.
我们在我家呢，我会跟我的孩子们说，如果有人欺负你，你这么跟他说。
Sticks and stones.
棍子和石头。
You guys know that? Yeah, say it. Yeah, pretty close. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you.
我跟他说的是， 棍子和石头会 伤害你的筋骨，但是话语是永远不可以把你打败的。
This is so false when it comes to husbands and wives.
这句话在丈夫和妻子的关系上是完全不适用的。
When a wife looks up to her husband,
当一个太太是仰望她的丈夫的时候
，and says demeaning things,
但是如果她就说出伤人的话语
，it devastates them.
不论这个话语是对丈夫还是对太太，都会有一个摧毁的作用。
Paul challenges husbands.
保罗就在这里给所有的丈夫做出一个挑战。
I like the ESV version. It says nourishes and cherishes the wife.
我很喜欢 ESV 这个翻译的版本，它里面说到你要保养顾惜你的太太。
Husbands, don't treat your wives like an automatic car wash.
不要把你的太太像是在自动清洗车间里面的车一样。
Detail your wife.
你应该是要对你的太太是关心很多细节上的东西。
Take all the intricacies that God has made in her.
把上帝在造女人放到她们里面的复杂和精妙的细节，你也要去注意到。
Cherish her.
去珍惜她。
Pay very close attention to her.
真的是把一些时间花在你太太身上。
We should treat our wives.And take care of them spiritually, like God does the church.
我们也应该像主怎么对教会一样，在灵命上面也要去爱惜我们的太太。
We're to treat them like God created precious Ferraris.
我们怎么样对我们的太太，就像神怎么样创造了这个令人爱惜的法拉利跑车一样。
Paul writes that Jesus cleansed the church by the washing of water through the word.
保罗写到说。主用水借着道把教会洗净。
Husbands,
做丈夫的。
If the only passage you read to your wife is 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12, and these passages on submission, you have a problem.
做丈夫的，如果你对你太太只用提摩太前书十一章里面的那两节，以及刚刚说到的顺服那几节经文来告诉你太太要怎么做的话，你这个做丈夫的就有大问题了。
If that is the case, you have a misunderstanding of Scripture and marriage.
如果你是这么认为的话，那么你对婚姻的理解，对圣经的解读也有大问题了。
We sit with our wives at the table with Jesus.
我们跟我们的太太都会坐在主桌前。
And Jesus is at the head of the table.
耶稣是主桌上面的主人。
Mutual submission takes place when we're together as equals and we look up to Him.
我们需要跟我们的太太在我们是在同一个地位上面的，我们都需要有一个共同的仰望，在仰望主的情况上。
When we're mutually submitted and merging together for the path that God has for us.
当我们真的可以做到彼此相爱、彼此珍惜，并且能够在主给我们设立的大道上面走到一条道上的时候。
Let's read 6:1-4.
让我们去看第六章的第一节到第四节。
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy a long life on earth.
Fathers, do not exasperate your children.
Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Here, Paul also puts the children-parent relationship in light of the lordship of Christ.
在这里面他讲到了儿女和父母之间的关系。
Again, Jesus is at the head of the table.
耶稣是整个主桌的主人。
The command here for children is significantly different from that of wives.
在这里呢，对做儿女的要求跟对做太太的要求是很不一样的。
Wives are called to submit, but children are called to obey.
对太太说的话是要顺服，对儿女说的话是要听从父母。
When is a child no longer a child and to be treated like an adult?
其实孩子们应该在哪一个年龄是真的开始我们应该像成人的一样对待他们呢？
I don't know.
我其实并不知道。
I have a 16-year-old son and I hope it's pretty soon.
我的儿子16岁了，我希望也能够快到应该把他当成年人对待的年龄了。
When Tobias and Jasmine were young, before even Dominic was born,
当我的大儿子和我的女儿还小的时候，就我老三还没出生之前，
we took the two on a train to the Portland Zoo.
我们一家就坐火车想要去波特兰去看那动物园。
And of course, the train doesn't go to the Portland Zoo.
因为你坐火车的话，你还是要转公交车。
So we had to walk from the train station in downtown Portland to the bus station in downtown Portland.
所以我们就要从火车站下车的地方走到去公交车的车站。
I'm sure that Florian and I were arm in arm and just smiles like a happy couple walking along.
当时肯定是我跟我太太很开心的手牵着手在前面走。
And Tobias and Jasmine were behind us.
然后我的儿子就跟我的女儿就在后面跟着我们走。
And we hear little old Jasmine speak up.
突然间我就听到我女儿说
Mama, Dad, Tobias has a doctor's thing.
她说爸爸妈妈哥哥手上有一个医生的东西。
What?
我当时觉得有点听不懂。
Tobias, he's got a shot thingy.
然后我女儿就说，他手上有个打针用的东西。
We turn around and Tobias is playing with a hypodermic needle that he found on the ground in downtown Portland.
我儿子当时就在波特兰的市中心拿起了在地上找到了一个针头在那玩。
My face is like most of yours, like, is he dead? I mean...I was deathly pale, I'm sure.
我当时就吓死了。
And we, what are you doing? I'm freaking out, panicking.
因为我当时我非常的着急，于是我就对我儿子开始吼了，我说你在想什么呢？
Floria somehow calmly gets him to put it down.
然后我太太就很冷静的跟我儿子说话，说把针头给放下。
What are you thinking?
因为我当时实在太着急了，所以我就吼我儿子说你在想什么。
And Tobias's response was, I was careful with the tip.
我儿子当时的回答就是，哇，我当时玩针头，我玩得很小心的。
Children need parents.
这就是为什么小孩子是需要父母的。
They need to learn how to obey.
他们也要学会怎么样去听从父母。
Parents know the risks associated with hypodermic needles in downtown Portland on the ground.
因为我们做父母都知道，你在一个城市中心，在地板上的针头，用过的针头到底有多危险。
Children do not.
小孩子并不知道那个东西有多危险。
Children have to be told not to put plastic bags over their head.
你要告诉小孩子，你不能把塑料袋套住你自己的头。
They have to be told not to run with knives.
你要告诉小孩子，他们不能拿着把刀到处乱跑。
And they need to be told to be buckled in the car.
而且你还得告诉小孩子们，他们坐车的时候要系安全带。
Therefore, if children will just listen to their parents, they will live longer.
所以这就是很自然而然的，为什么听话的小孩活得也久一点？
And again, it's imperative that children learn to obey.
所以也真的是必须的，小孩要听父母的话。
The next command for fathers.
然后在这一段里面呢，他就怎么样？跟父亲说的呢？
And it's specifically addressed to fathers, not just fathers and mothers.
很有趣的，他这里说是你们做父亲的，没有说你们做父亲和母亲的。
And that's probably because Paul knows that fathers are the ones that need to be reminded to calm down and have self-control.
很可能的也是因为保罗知道，特别是做父亲的需要时不时的被提醒，因为他们通常可能不太容易像妈妈那么容易冷静。
When considering this relationship and praying about it, I couldn't get a specific image out of my head.
当我在自己去揣摩这一段章节的时候，我自己脑子里面的图片其实并不是特别清晰。
This relationship is like a beekeeper and bees.
但是我觉得我可以以一个养蜂人和蜜蜂之间的关系去看。
I'm guessing I got this image because I got so many kids just buzzing about me all the time.
我为什么会觉得这个图片很有共鸣呢？因为我有这么多小孩，我小孩就跟蜜蜂一样在旁边嗡嗡嗡嗡的叫。
But a beekeeper has to remain calm and self-controlled.
作为一个养蜂人，你其实要，你非常要有自控能力。
Can you imagine the beekeeper freaking out and just swatting at things?
而且你也要非常冷静，你根本不可能看到一个养蜂人慌慌张张的撞到这里撞到那里的。
A beekeeper must be calm and self-controlled.
作为一个成功的养蜂人，你必须要很冷静，而且你要自控能力很好。
He does provide discipline.
这个他其实是有一个自律性在里面的。
But more importantly, he is helping the bee do what bees do.
作为养蜂人，你要做的就是要帮助蜜蜂去行使你作为蜜蜂的天职。
And what do bees do?
那蜜蜂的天职是什么呢？
Yeah, exactly. They make honey.
他们采集蜂蜜。
if a father is trying to force his bees to make watermelons, it's not going to turn out real well.
如果你是个养蜂人，你逼着你的蜜蜂去给你采西瓜的话，那肯定不可能。
The father's job is to train the children in the training the instruction of the Lord.
所以说，做父亲的就像养蜂人一样，你要去让这个蜜蜂，也就是你的孩子，去让他接受来自于神的教育。
How has God designed this child?
你也要学会明白这个孩子，神是怎么样在他生命上有一个什么样的宗旨，有个什么样的意愿。
Sometimes we offer the excuses.
有的时候我们做父亲的，我们有很多借口。
I was so frustrated.
我们会说，我实在是太生气了。
I didn't know what else to do.
我根本不知道我还能干什么。
I ran out of patience.
我实在没有耐心了。
Note that.Patience is not just waiting longer to blow up.
我现在跟大家说一下，耐心不是说让你再等久一点再发脾气。
Patience is understanding, and it results in self-control.
耐心真正的意思是说，你能够去理解，然后以至于你能够好好的控制自己的情绪。
Now, with the instruction for both children and fathers, parents.
好，我们刚刚看到了，就是给予孩子的指令以及给家长的指令。
The command is rooted in Scripture.
它其实基本的宗旨也是在圣经里面的。
Right, Paul gives the Ten Commandments for the children, and he also says the instruction of the Lord to the parents.
他给小孩说你要做这些，但他同时也跟家长们说你要教小你，他也跟家长们说你要听神的话去做你的指教。
Both are governed.By God.
所以无论是小孩还是父母都是有神在上面作为三角形的核心的。
Paul defines what is right with God's word, and so should we, particularly as parents.
保罗在这里面说到神的话语应当是怎么指教，所以作为家长的我们也要很小心的去遵守。
Let's take God at his word, for our parenting philosophy and our parenting practices.
我们作为家长，我们的教育应当是来自于神的教导。
Let's put our trust in how God says to parent rather than, say, the New York Times or Google or the schools.
让我们做父母的，我们的指令是能够是基于圣经上面的，而不是说在网上去找所谓的畅销书籍来做我们教育的模范范本。
And again, we're just sitting around the table as equals with our children, with Christ as the head.
所以在主桌前面，神是。我们的基督是这个主桌的主人，我们的孩子，我们的太太跟我们一样，都是坐在这个桌子上面的。
And sitting around that table, what would Christ think about how you parent?
好好的想一想，在那个桌子上面，如果基督知道了你是怎么样教育孩子的话，他会怎么想呢？
Let's read chapter 6, verses 5 through 9.
我们看第三段，读第五节一直到第九节。
Slaves,
你们做仆人的要惧怕战惊，用诚实的心听从你们肉身的主人，好像听从基督一般，不要只在眼前侍奉，像是讨人喜欢的，要像基督的仆人，从心里遵行神的旨意，甘心侍奉，好像服侍主，不像服侍人，因为晓得个人所行的善事，无论是为奴的，是自主的，都必按所行的得主的赏赐。你们做主人的待仆人也是义理，不要威吓他们，因为知道他们和你们同有一位主在天上，他并不偏待人。
With regard to slaves and masters, once again, I'm simply going to contextualize it for us.
好，我们看这段的时候，我们是只看经文之间的关系。
And the reason for this is because we all agree that the abolition of slavery is a good thing.
因为我想我们应该都能够达到一个共识，就是美国奴隶制的取缔是一个好事。
Additionally, the master-slave relationship that Paul condoned was nothing like what we perceive as slavery.
所以在这里面讲到的主仆的关系，不是我们脑子里面想到的奴隶制的那种关系。
And more importantly, the principles you'll see carry over right over to employees and employers.
而且在这里讲到的主仆关系，你会发现在我们今天做上司和下属的这样的关系也是实用的。
The principle derived from this section flows from the repeated word, repeated word no.
在这一段里面，你会看到有一个词经常会说到，就是知道、知晓。
You see that in verse 8, you know.
你在第八节里面看到晓得。
Because you know, and verse 9, since you know.
然后第九节里面也说到，因为知道。
This gives the grounds, the reason, or the basis for the masters, for the manners of the employers and the employees.
所以这里面讲到就是这一个词主要的去点出了作为仆人和作为主人你们的举止应当如何。
Both slaves and masters, employees and employers are supposed to have this in mind.
主人和仆人都应该知道这个道理。
That Christ is Lord.
就是基督是他们的主。
That we have the same Lord.
就是我们同有一位主在天上。
One day I realized this, probably from listening to a message on this passage.
有一天我意识到这个的时候是可能刚好那天我也听到了讲到这一段的讲章。
I realized that I work for Jesus.
我也是在那个时候意识到其实我的老板是基督。
I don't work for Burger King or New Hope Christian College or whoever else.
我不是说在麦当劳打工就是我的老板是麦当劳或者说我在圣经学院里面打工我的老板就是圣经学院。
I'm not my own boss.
我也不是我自己的老板。
Everything I do for Jesus.
我所做的所有的事情，我做的对象是基督。
I work for Jesus, and I'm always on the clock.
我真正的上司，我的顶头上司是基督，而且我没有一个所谓早上九点钟走，下午五点钟回来。我的上司跟我是二十四小时都在一起的。
And I also realize that Jesus' benefits go far beyond what any company can provide.
而且我也知道耶稣作为我的上司他给我的福利远比任何一个在这个世界上的所谓世界五百强给的福利还要好
I suggest reading Psalm 103 when you get home and look at the benefits of serving Jesus
如果你不知道耶稣作为你的上司他有什么样的福利的话我鼓励你回家去看诗篇里面的103章里面看他具体怎么说的
And Jesus is everywhere
而且耶稣是无所不在的
And he sees everything.
他是无所不知的。
And we work for him.
我们的老板就是这么一个人。
He sees the employees who sit there playing on their phones in the bathroom stall.
所以如果你是一个在厕所里面躲着玩手机的员工的话，他看得见。
And he sees the employees who secretly clean the boogers off the wall.
又或者是你是那个很主动的自己把厕所打扫干净的那一个员工他也看得见
That's who we work for
这就是这样的一个主这就是你有的一个主人
The master and slave and for us the employee and employee, employer relationship was once supposed to be one of symbiosis It was supposed to be symbiotic
主仆之间的关系其实是一个标志性的关系
That is mutually beneficial for both parties
无论是对主人还是仆人都应该是有益的这段关系
Employees are not supposed to take advantage of their employers
作为员工你不应该贪公司的小便宜
We don't sneak supplies home
我们不应当把公司的文具带回家
We don't call in sick because we stayed up too late
不会因为说早上起不来床打电话跟老板说我病了我不来
We don't embezzle our companies
不会说贪污
And we don't goof off when the boss is not around.
也不会说老板不在，说我就爱干嘛干嘛。
Employers, bosses, consider this image.
那好，如果你是做上司的话，我想你看上面这幅图画。
When you Google symbiosis, this is what you get.
如果你在 Google 上面 Google, 掌控 symbiosis, controlling.
Mutually beneficial.
Oh.如果你去看互惠互利你在谷歌上面去搜这样的话你去搜图片的话这是其中一部会出来的图片
Can you guess which one represents the employer?
你应该就能猜到这里面当老大的是谁
Right? But it's a mutually beneficial relationship
但是你也知道就算你老大是这样子的你是那么小的你们两个的关系是互惠互利的
The crocodile gets his teeth cleaned
鳄鱼在这里它的牙齿可以让小鸟给它给弄干净
And the bird gets dinner.
然后小鸟呢就会把鳄鱼牙齿之间的残渣作为食物饱腹。
Bosses, however, have an advantage over the employer. The
当然，你作为主人，你作为上司，你还是对于你的员工来说，你是有优势的。
They are entrusted with the bird.
你作为上司，你的员工是委托在你的手里的。
And they have the opportunity to significantly bless or harm.The employee.
作为主人，作为上司，你有很大的机会去，要么去祝福你的员工，要么就是去剥削掠夺你的员工。
For those of you who are bosses in here,
在座的，如果你们是做主人、做上司的
，make the most of that opportunity.
好好的去把握你的机会。
Be a blessing to those who work for you.
去祝福你的下属。
Treat others as you would have them treat you.
如果你想要人家怎么待你，你也怎么样对你的下属。
It is hard to look down on your employees when you're looking up to Christ.
当你仰望主的时候，如果你要去看低你的员工的话，这是一个很不和谐的。
That's the basis of this message.
我刚刚说的呢，就是刚刚我们看到那五章后面和六章前面的主要的。
That is the foundation of the manners that we are supposed to have with one another.
所以刚刚说到的都是一些最基本的行为准则，我们人与人之间的关系应当是有这样子的。
Husbands and wives.
丈夫和太太们。
Children and parents.
父母和孩子们。
Employers and employees.
员工和上司们。
All of us in our various social relationships.
我们每一个人在这个社会关系网中都扮演着不同的角色。
We're about to join together.At the Lord's table.
今天我们要在一起用圣餐，我们都会来到主的桌前。
I thought about actually moving all the chairs to the side and making a big circle and having the meal in the middle.
我曾经还想过说，今天我们特殊一点，把所有的椅子全部作为一个圆圈的形式摆起来，把主餐放到中间。
And maybe I'll do that next time.
可能下一次再做吧。
Instead, I'd like you to consider those who are next to you.
我希望大家能够把你们身边的人纪念住。
And consider those who are not here.
纪念的是今天没有在我们当中的人。
All those people that we're supposed to be empowering.
那些我们应当去激励的人。
Consider your children. Maybe they're with the children downstairs.
纪念那些在下面的孩子。
Consider your wife or your husband who might be helping.
纪念那些你如果你有配偶在下面帮忙照顾孩子们的同工。
Who do you work with?
今天与你同工的是谁?
Who do you work for?
你今天去服侍的人，你的上司是谁?
And who works for you?
那谁是服侍你的那个人，你的下属是谁?
These are the people that we're supposed to be encouraging in their walk with the Lord.
这些人都是我们应当去激励他们的人，激励他们与主越走越近的人。
Consider the manner of your relationship with them.
好好的去反省一下，你在人际关系中你的举止是什么样的。
How do you normally treat the people in your lives?
你平日在人与人之间的关系里面，你是怎么样对待他人的？
Is it as if Jesus were at the head of the table and all of us are just around?
是主在桌上作为主人，我们只是站在旁边吗？
I want you to consider that.
我希望大家能够好好的去反省一下。
Literally, take a moment. Who are those people in your life?
花一些时间去思考你生命中的这些人分别是谁。
How do you treat them?
你平时是怎么样对他们的？
Is it as if?You have the same Lord?
你对待他们是真的是像主里的弟兄姐妹一样吗？
When Jesus sees you at the table with your family, is he pleased?
如果当主看到你和你的家人在他的桌前的时候，他会对你微笑吗？
Let's prepare our hearts for communion.
让我们预备我们自己的心，因为接下来我们要领用圣餐了。
Yongfen, I didn't ask you. Will you join me and Moses? And Hoei, can you join me as well in serving communion? For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread.And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
我当日传给你们的原是从主领受的，就是主耶稣被卖的那一夜，拿起饼来，祝谢了，就掰开说，这是我的身体，为你们舍的。你们应当如此行，为的是纪念我。
Moses, will you pray for the bread?
我们感谢你，主啊，你为我们设了一个很美好的榜样，使你来到这个世界，为我们的人
At the Chinese church, we reserve communion for believers, but not necessarily members.
在我们教会，如果你是已经信主的，我们就欢迎你和我们一同享用圣餐。
Therefore, if you have not yet surrendered to Christ as your Lord and Savior, we ask that you just pass it by.
如果你还没有决定说要请主做你生命的救主的话，我们想请你就是观礼，但是不要拿饼拿杯。
And we pray that you join us soon.
我们也会为你祷告，希望你能够很快的能够加入到我们当中。